Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Joshua Fiedler. Known for his work with the Juliana Theory, he never really wanted to make a solo album. But after his family suffered a personal loss, he wrote a song that he sent to friends and soon found himself writing more music, ultimately resulting in the LP It's Hard to Lie to Strangers, which he's releasing under the name Low Rev. That LP comes out June 26 via Equal Vision Records. Fiedler recently spoke about his life as a parent, how music is something that he's never really considered giving up, the freedom he found in making It's Hard to Lie to Strangers, as well as what it's like to be an introvert in a profession that seems to be the apex of extroversion. That's Joshua Fiedler of Low Rev on Into Music coming up now. My understanding is like you never really wanted to make a solo album. So what was the moment where you said, okay, I'm going to do it?
Going back, gosh, mid-90s when I started writing songs, I always just considered myself just a band guy. You know, just I wanted to just be in bands, wanted to play with my friends. But I guess over the time, I was in the Juliana Theory. We disbanded in 2006. Did some local bands around the Pittsburgh area for a while, but obviously I have a collection of songs in my brain that need a home. And then, when Juliana Theory got back together, I would send stuff to Brett, our singer, and I have another band called Pack that, we share songs and we get together, on weeknights every once in a while and we'll record. But I had a lot of songs in my hard drive and my voice memos of just little vocal melodies or guitar parts here and there. And it was around April of last year, my dog Griffin passed away unexpectedly. He was our family dog, golden retriever. He was like the best dog ever. And a few weeks after, I wrote a song, decided to record it, and I really liked how it turned out. I sang it. I would do backup vocals and stuff here and there, but I sang it and I sent it to some friends and they were very encouraging. I didn't know if they really liked it or not. Maybe they're just being nice because, of the song and what it was about and everything. But it just kind of kicked off this thing in me. I was like, well, I have all these songs that don't have a home. Maybe I'll just sing them and see what I can do with them. And, I was thinking maybe I'd just put out an EP or something and did five songs, sent them to my friend Dan at Equal Vision, and he really liked it and asked, what do you think about doing a record? I was like, well, I don't know, maybe. I was like, I have a lot more songs, so I just finished a bunch more, and then here we go.
It was interesting coming in today, knowing I was going to talk to you. I did the responsible thing and sat down with the record again, and listening to I Hope I Get to See You Again today, just, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just hit me a little bit different. And it's that thing, I guess, that, about friendship, like as we get older, I think friendships become harder to maintain as marriages and children mm-hmm. come into the picture and so forth. That seems like where you were at with that tune.
Yeah, it was. Yep. And that is the song that kicked everything off. Yep. That was it. So.
Oh, so that's actually about your dog.
Yep, that's about my dog. Yep.
Oh, wow.
But it could, it could lead to a lot of things. Yeah, being, I know my age, I've got so many friends that I've lost touch with and over the years, and I'm sure, because we are busy. I've, my wife and three kids are, that's my life there, and we're always busy with something. I've got a daughter going off to college. I've got one that plays travel softball, and we're busy. So I
thought that was an interesting choice too, to open the album with. Was that simply Did that placement come simply because that was the first one written, or did you feel like that was a good gateway to the kind of themes that...
A little bit of both. Obviously, you know, being that that song kicked off this like solo journey for me, I felt a bit appropriate, and it kind of puts, it was it the way my headspace was, you know, I was, that one felt like an album opener to me. Just the general, you know, the vibe of the song, you know, the way the I start the record with the effects that, you know, those kind of like warbly atmospheric like pad things that I use a lot during the whole record. But I just thought, you know, that was, felt like an album opener to me.
I like records that open in that way where it almost feels as though you're coming in on the middle of something, like you're catching a conversation that's in progress or something.
Yeah, so, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of things, other songs I wanted to talk to you about. Of course, It's Hard to Lie to Strangers, which was, you know, to me, I guess that sense of sometimes wanting communication, and like we were talking about, as you get older and sometimes you're not sure, maybe your friends aren't around. And certainly if you have kids, there are other parents, but maybe sometimes they're not the, you know, necessarily. So that sense, I think, that we find of wanting to reach out and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is that. Then it's also to, you know, I wrote that after, in last August, we went to Australia to play three shows for to Juliana Theory. We did it was our 25th anniversary of Emotion is Dead. So we went to Australia and played a few shows, and it was a kind of a whirlwind trip. It was, you know, we were 7-day trip. It was three shows, but it was, I think it was 12 flights for those three shows too. And, you know, by the end of it, the last night, I was just completely exhausted, worn down. I was getting a terrible cold, and I was doing our merch too. So I was selling, you know, selling the merch, you know, playing and everything. And it was the end of the night. I was packing everything up, and our drummer brought a friend over to introduce me. And I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. You know, pleasantries, you know. And then I was done because, you know, I was sick. I just wanted to pack up the stuff and get back to the hotel. And I found out later that, you know, that the person that I had met called me some names that I wasn't expecting because I wasn't talkative and friendly enough. And it, you know, it's, I felt bad, but like, you know, sometimes it, that's just the way I am. I'm a little bit introverted, and I don't typically go out and talk to people. Like, I like to talk to people. I love to meet fans, and that's why I sell the merch too. But, you know, at that point I was just kind of drained. And I talk in that song about, you know, the first verse I mentioned a couple times that I only have two bars left. And then the second verse is I only have one bar left. So it's kind of a take on my social battery level, you know, that we all have, you know, and especially as we get older, that battery drains a little faster, just like the iPhones that we have. So.
Oh, sure. I mean, well, two things came to mind as you're telling me about this. One is that being in a band and you have maybe at some point these dreams about like, we're going to be able to travel, we're going to be able to go places. Mm-hmm. But then there's the reality of like, we have to travel, we have to go places.
Yes. Yes. And we have to work and we're not going to get much sleep. And yeah. Yes.
And so that has to be kind of a crazy moment where it's like, I'm so happy to be here. I'm really thankful that I can do this and everything, but man, I'm still human at the end of the day.
That is very, that sums touring up for me too. Yes. Cause I love to play shows. I love playing live. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. There's like nothing in the world that gives you that same feeling as, you know, playing songs that you wrote on a stage. But yeah, all the other stuff that goes along with it, you know, the long flights, the long van rides, you know, all the carrying of equipment, the sitting around doing nothing. And yeah.
And it is hard too. I think if you're, you know, I'm somewhat introverted. So, I mean, I do something very public, but like, I don't always, you know, people are like, you know, come to the show and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really feel like talking to people at the end of the day. It's nothing personal. It's just like, I need that. build up.
Right. Definitely, yeah, that's exactly how I am. I love to hang out with my friends, but a lot of the time, especially during the week or the weekend, that's like my time just to like decompress after everything that we do during the week, whether it's work or running errands, taking kids places, always having to talk to people and just use your brain. Sometimes I just want to just shut it off and just sit at home.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's stuff that a lot of people didn't talk about. Maybe, I'm finding more and more of my friends being honest about that. Where, I think about my parents. My parents, I don't think ever let on when they were, going to my brother's football games or, traveling 9 hours to see him play football or something. I don't think they ever let on that it was taxing. And I'm like, it must have been,
Right. I know. I hope that my kids see that the same way. I hope that they don't see me as this exhausted person that's, miserable or, not miserable, that's the wrong word, but just a tired person. That I hope they look at me with thinking I have, good fun energy and remember me that way.
Yeah, it's true, right? Well, that also brings us to Smiles Light Up the Room, which you wrote about your son, and I thought that was a really beautiful reflection on parenthood in the sense of, I think there's a line in there about you're a mystery to me, and I think sometimes children feel that way about their parents, right? Like, I don't quite, why is that like that? But to hear it the other way, which is, you as a parent don't always have the answers, right?
Right. You don't. You're just, winging it day by day, hoping to do your best to raise good humans that, will be caring and care about the world and the people around them and just be nice to everybody. And that's really the end goal, but, just raising good humans.
Well,
I think my wife and I are doing a pretty good job of it so far too, so with our three. So but it's tough.
Oh, sure. And I mean, so you said that you have one that's about to go off to college. So you must have been pretty young and pretty working a lot, touring and so forth at that point in your life.
So we had just stopped touring. My wife and I got married in 2005. The Julian Theory ended in 2006. And then my first born, she was born very beginning of 2008. So, my wife and I kind of wanted to get the family started. Yeah, we were pretty young. So we wanted to be young parents, wanted to be able to run around and do all the things. And, my knees are regretting it now, but I'm glad I did it then instead of, waiting. But
So that actually was like good timing because you weren't necessarily gone all the time and everything during
right.
that period.
Yeah, and I didn't start touring again until 2019. So my kids, were a little older. I'd play shows here and there, but yeah, no touring until, they were a little grown up. So it was good timing, I feel like. It's still hard to leave, obviously, and it's thankfully my wife holds down the fort for me when I'm gone, but it's still tough leaving them, which, with probably why I don't tour as much as we did back in the day. But I feel like generally that's kind of the consensus around. I don't see bands that tour 9, 10 months out of the year anymore, just because it's such a burden. It's so expensive and it's hard to tour these days just with, all of the Ticketmaster Live Nation stuff. And there's so many bands as well you're competing with on a night by night basis in every city, so it's a little tougher these days.
But I am happy to see like that sense of like not only because it's competitive, but people actually saying I'm gonna take care of myself, because I think we have that image of oh, the musician's gonna sacrifice everything for their art, and it's like I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, my wife and I haven't had a weekend together for like 5 years because I'm gigging, and I'm like, how does she do that?
Right.
And it's like, yeah. So I mean, to be able to kind of raise the hand and say, okay, this it has to be a balance. So.
Yes. And that's what I'm doing with this too. I definitely want to play shows with it. I'm playing an album release show in Pittsburgh, obviously my hometown, on July 11th. But I definitely want to play shows full band. And I'm just kind of let the opportunities come to me, rather than going out and planning like a 6 week tour or anything like that. I'm hoping the record connects with people and they want to see me play it live, and hopefully those opportunities come.
Let's also talk about Bulletproof, which I have to admit I was not familiar with that song. And then I went back and I listened to the original and I was like, how did he get there?
So Bulletproof by LaRue, I think, is one of the best pop songs, dance pop songs of this century, to me anyway. I love that song. I've loved it ever since I heard it for the first time back, I don't probably what, 15 years ago now or something. I think it was released around then, but I've always liked that song. And so, like in every band that I've ever been in, for some reason, we could never ever agree on doing a cover song. Like everybody would always want to do something else. So we never did it. And then finally, now that I'm doing this, I'm like, well, I guess I can do whatever I want. So let's take a song like that and just make it weird and dark. And that's kind of what I did. I think I was just writing, I have that song on a playlist of mine of just like all pop songs. I've got like, that and I've have some Miley Cyrus songs and Britney Spears and stuff like that that I have. And that song came on one day. I was driving. I'm like, I think I'm gonna cover this just on a whim. And the next day I figure out the chords and what key it should have been in. And I made a drum beat and just kind of went with it. And there it is. So, and I decided, it was kind of fun. So I was like, yeah, I'll put it on the record.
Well, that was one of the other things I was curious about, like writing a, making this record by yourself. I'm assuming that when you write in a band context, there are those moments where there are conversations where somebody's like, I don't know about that part, or I'm not sure if this is us, or something like this. So here,
Sure.
everything is possible, basically.
That's how I looked at it. I didn't want to put myself in a hole and just write acoustic songs, and I didn't want to do that because I don't want to. I also, being the introverted person I am, I don't think I can get on a stage by myself and sing. I'll need somebody else at least to be with me. So I never envisioned that. So I always envisioned it just as a full band. And sure, there's a couple acoustic songs on the record that are just me and an acoustic guitar, and that's it. But yeah, that was the vibe. And to that point too, I don't want to pigeonhole myself. I just want to do kind of whatever feels right and whatever I want to do. And that's kind of the goal of this. I'm in my late 40s. I just want to do whatever I want, just
So was there ever a time where you felt like music was kind of off the table for you? Like, I'm kind of done. I've gone through that period of my life.
No, it's always been a part of me. I thought, after the Juliana Theory broke up in 2006, I didn't think that I would be in another touring band ever again. But I always had it. Like, it's like one of those things when you play music, you play it live, and like I said earlier, there's nothing in the world that feels like that. I guess it's kind of like, a drug that gets in you that you always seek that feeling, and I knew I couldn't ever just leave that feeling behind. So I did do local bands that that satisfied the need, I guess, to put it. I always wanted to do a little more because that's another thing too, when you're in a band with other people around the same age, we all have kids. Sometimes it's hard to get together or plan things, but we would try our best and play once every few months or whatever. And so with this, it was just kind of like, well, I guess I don't really need to rely on anybody. I can just do it whenever. So that's kind of, that'll be fun because I can just do it, I don't have to rely on four other people and figure out their schedules. Although I do with the band, like with, my band, but I can just be like, oh, we have a show here. Let's do it and plan for it.
Yeah, the feeling you're talking about when you play live, and I would imagine it's probably the same when you finish a song. I wonder about this because it's like I don't do what I do. Like at least I hope not. I'm not doing this like out of ego. I genuinely like talking to people, And there's a feeling like when I've had a conversation of like, this has been a great experience. And that's kind of what's always kept me. Do you know what I mean? It's this sense of satisfaction and connection that I get through it. And it sounds like that's what you get out of music.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's like that personal satisfaction that, especially with this, like I created something all by myself. And it's pretty exciting to me. You know, even if it flops and nobody likes it, I have it in my brain, at least, that I tried, gave it my all, and I'm really proud of the record. Obviously, I've been proud of everything that I've ever done musically, but this one is pretty special, especially considering, you know, I did it with everything else going on in my life. You know, it was easy when we were kids, you know, right out of high school, to work in a part-time job at a record store, and we can just play whenever, write whenever, go and record, you know, nothing tying you down like kids or anything. So I feel like now it's more of a sense of accomplishment, being that, you know, I have the three kids, I've got a full-time job, I have, you know, I help coach my daughter's softball team, taking my other two kids all over the place. And it's, yeah, it's definitely that sense of accomplishment that feels really good.
You've been listening to a conversation with Joshua Fiedler of Low Rev. The debut Low Rev album, It's Hard to Lie to Strangers, is out June 26 on Equal Vision Records. You can learn more about the release via the official Equal Vision website, equalvision.com, and find Fiedler on Instagram and Facebook. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.